Good morning. A lot going on this morning. Senate will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, February 20th. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Excused.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Nicholas. Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Prayer for Reverend Robinson.
Pleasure. Thank you. There I am. And so for one final time, at least with me this week, let us pray. Loving God, what a week that you have given us, and what opportunities. Early mornings, full schedules, and long days. You have blessed us with work to do and the ability to accomplish it. And with each finished task and successful endeavor, we give you thanks for the meaning it adds to our lives. And for each failed attempt and thwarted effort, we ask that you give us understanding so that we might learn what those experiences tell us about ourselves and each other. You have blessed us with friends to work beside. And with each friend who helps us accomplish more than we could on our own, we give you thanks for the power of relationships. Forgive us for those strangers we have met and did not allow to become friends, for the times we saw those strangers as enemies, and for the lines we draw that put some in and some out. Give us the eyes of Christ so that we might see all as your children. There have been times when you surprise us with chance or circumstance. We pray that those surprises become blessings as we learn more and more to trust in you. At the end of this week, we pray that you will help us to finish this day with satisfaction. And we pray that we might enter into the next week refreshed and ready to begin again the work you grant us. Not only so that we might accomplish something, not only so that we might be satisfied, but also so that we might see you in our work, so that we might have another opportunity to find meaning in what we do, to learn from our mistakes, and to make strangers into friends and blessings out of surprises. Loving God, you bless us so with such a week. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading corrections and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports at the Journal of February the 20th, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. I have an extra special privilege today to announce the Doctor of the Day, Dr. George McMurtry, M.D. from Gillette.
looks like things are going well in the Wyoming Senate, and I just consider it a great privilege to see all my friends, and to maybe hand out an aspirin or two, and I certainly wish you all the very best in the Wyoming legislature, and I know you're doing great work, and just keep up the good job, and I'm watching Tony. Great to see you.
Thank you. Our nurses for the day, Betsy Hartman and Donna Hayes from Riverton Public Health. Welcome, ladies. Thought for the day, it's all right to have butterflies in your stomach. Just get them to fly in formation. I have some appointments here. For Senate File 53, Property Tax Deferral Program, Schiffer, Chairman, Jennings, and Martin. For Senate File 111, First Responder Retirement Contributions, Larson, Chairman, Massey, and Burns. Thought I had three. Yep, I do. Okay. And for Senate File 32, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program, Geis, Chairman, Bebout, and Dacey. Joint Conference Committee reports.
Joint Conference Committee
Senator Geis, are you ready for your message 308, Senate File, the Joint Conference Resolution 8, Senator Geis? Okay, would the reading clerk please read in the joint report?
Joint Conference Committee Report, Senate File 8, Feral Livestock, reference House Message Number 308. To engrossed copy. Signing for the House. Representatives Teeters, Gilmore, and Wallace. Signing for the Senate. Senators Geis, Johnson, and Vasey.
Senator Geis.
Mr. President, I move the Joint Conference Committee report on House Message 308. Pertaining to Senate File 8, and we got together and the Senate rolled over to the House, and we ended up with five members, 5 days, and they had 3 days. So what this bill does now, after someone receives notification that they have stray livestock somewhere, they have 5 days to gather it up, and that's all the bill does, and I'd ask you to vote aye.
Don't seem to have the right touch this morning. They're not going on and off very good. The motion is that the Senate do adopt Joint Conference Report number 308, reference, or its joint, and its reference to the, its 308 and its Senate Joint Conference on Senate File 8. Chief Clerk will call the roll. The motion is to vote aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt. Jennings. Johnson. Landon. Larson. Martin excused. Massey. Meyer. Nicholas. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Schiffer. Scott. Sessions. Townsend. Basie. Von Flatern. President Hines. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted the Joint Conference Report on Message 308, reference House Bill 8. Senator Nicholas, are you ready on Message 344?
Thank you, Mr. President, I am.
Okay, would reading clerk please read in the message.
February the 19th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 344, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 125, State Employee Compensation. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence report message number 344 and ask that you vote no. It's really a very simple kind of issue. This deals with the, if you'll recall, the bill regarding the, it was a Joint Appropriations Committee bill on state employee compensation, and we had deleted some language in what is called the job classification process. The House put words back in, including the effort, the word effort, which does not apply to a job classification, and part of the problem is that we've discovered by that effort, there's some confusion in the title that we may need to get straightened out because what we're simply talking about is content and not subjective effort ideas. So it's neither one is, I think we can do a better job describing the title and we can get that straightened out. So I'd ask you to vote no.
Senator Ross. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 125, and you're asked to vote no. Chief Clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Honeycutt,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Larson,
no.
Martin excused, Massey,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Basie,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 29 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 125. The conference committee will be Nicholas, Chair, Peterson, and Session. Senator Ross, are you ready on message 348?
I am.
Okay, with reading clerk, please read in the message.
February the 19th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 348, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File Number 103, Child Abuse and Neglect Amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Ross, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 348, concurrence request to Senate File 103, Child Abuse and Neglect Amendments, and ask the body to vote no. Members of the Senate, what the House basically did to my good fine bill was emasculate it. That's a nice word, isn't it? Anyway, I would ask that you vote no and that we appoint a conference committee, go back and try to figure out what we can do to salvage the bill. Thank you.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 103, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson? Landon,
no.
Larson,
no.
Martin excused, Massey,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Basie,
no.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Hines,
no.
Closing vote, closing vote closed. 29 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 103. The conference committee will be Ross, Chairman, DeCaria, and Perkins. Reports from standing committees.
February the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 213, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, and Vasey. Absent, Senator Jennings, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 240, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend. No, Senator Meyer, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
This is Senator Geis.
House Bill 213, which was grassland, something has an appropriation on it and need to be re-referred to the Appropriation Committee.
Without objections, House Bill 213 will be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bills on second reading. House Bill 100, second reading of the House Bill.
Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
House Bill 100, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 111.
Clean Coal Task Force.
House Bill 111, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 145, second reading of the House Bill.
Rural Health Care Districts Mill Levy.
House Bill 145, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 195, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 195, Real Estate Act Amendments.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there was a little bit of discussion yesterday, a couple of questions about this bill regarding the errors and omissions insurance as well as background checks. I've done some research. They already do background checks. This just kind of specifies that it's the same form of background check that everyone requires. They only have to have it done once when they originally apply for a license. And then in terms of errors and omissions insurance, they already have a requirement to have that. Actually, the rates for O&E insurance for realtors is very reasonable. It's only about $150 per year. That may seem like a lot, but compared to other professions, it's very, very reasonable per person, and they've been doing that for a long time. So really there are no new burdens or requirements out of this. And I hope that satisfies the body. Thank you, Mr. President.
House Bill 195, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 198, second reading of the House Bill.
Wheat Marketing Commission Assessments.
House Bill 198, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 207.
Internet hunting.
House Bill 207, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 226, second reading of the House Bill.
State lands grazing leases.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill number 226, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 8.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 226. Folks, what this addresses is the issue simply that when we're trying to set a topside that these leases won't, for the right of preference, in essence, that national study is an average. So if you're, say, your average for the value or for the is for leases in that area is $10 an animal unit. Well, that's the middle. I mean, you're going to have 50% below and 50% above, because by virtue of the fact that it's an average. And it seems to me that the state ought to have the benefit of leases on the high side. And so we don't know how that national group develops their average, whether they throw the outliers out, whether you have a bell curve that looks like this or one that's pitched. But by saying that they won't exceed 150% of the median, then if your median or your midpoint is $10, then it won't exceed $15. By taking the 150%, my assumption is that the high side values in the region will not be much more than 150% of the median. But it does seem to me that as we're trying to resolve how to address issues between neighbors, or an issue where somebody from out of state comes in and wants to drive up your lease value, if leases get driven up, the state ought to at least have the advantage of values on the high side as opposed to the median. So I'd ask your support.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And it's It's really a decision of this body what you want to do with this. I think it was explained very well by my colleague from Albany County. You know, the language does say maximum fair market value, but if this body feels more comfortable in putting 150% on it, what we're trying to do is take care of those individual small farmers and ranchers that, because of some unrealistic bids, it really hurts their operation. And so if we want to do that, this is better than what we have, which is nothing. So I'm lukewarm on it, I guess, Mr. President. The other thing I want to be sure and explain to the body, we talked about that 20% number yesterday, particularly my colleague from Teton County was concerned about it. It is in Chapter 4 of our rules, so the State Land Board does use 20% as a matter of in our rules when they deal with these issues.
Further discussion on the amendment? The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 226 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion passed. House Bill 226 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 235, second reading of the House Bill.
Child Protection Case Planning.
House Bill 235, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 241, second reading of the House Bill.
Criminal Background Checks Retirement System.
House Bill 241, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 251, second reading of the House Bill.
Trust Retirement Funds Accounting.
House Bill 251, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 288, second reading of the House Bill.
Certificate Senator of Authority High Voltage Transmission Lines.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to answer a couple of questions that were brought up yesterday. There was some concern about what segment meant, and they have rules within the PSC, and that is could be between county lines, between roads, and the distance between substations. And also the question of eminent domain came up. This in no way, shape, or form affects our current statutes of eminent domain.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Just a question of the sponsors on this, and I sort of was off the floor, caught the tail end of this. One of the reasons why my recollection is we had a provision that says you have to have the entire line laid out before you can essentially do the force somebody to give you land is that if you go like it's in between here and or take the areas between Laramie and driving off to Colorado, these folks have ranches out there. And what happens is that when these power companies come in, they don't like putting their power lines together. So they have a major transmission line going. And what they like to do is have redundancy. So they like to have about 300 yards between every line. So you've got about you got a ranch. Power line puts a line right down your ranch. Then about 5 years later, they come back and they put another one next to it, not next to it, about 300 feet away from it. Then they want to put another one about 300 feet. And pretty soon, your ranch is just trashed. I mean, and what folks want to do is say, either go to my neighbor's ranch or put them next to each other and you get in a fight. And by requiring that you be a part of where the entire line goes, then you have some negotiation strength. You say, look, move it a mile or two or 3 miles over, so it comes around us or goes a different direction. If what happens is you say, well, the companies can begin to force a line on either side of you, then when they come to negotiate, it says, well, we have no choice. We've already got a billion-dollar investment to your property, $1 billion going out, and there's just no choice. This is where it's going to go. So as a landowner trying to participate in whether it goes around your ranch or 20 feet or 100 feet from the other line, you've just lost entirely your entire ability to negotiate, because nobody's going to say, well, look, you know, we know your ranch is important to you, and we know that maybe it's not fair that you have a fourth line going through your ranch, but we've already got $1 billion investment. And that's the reason why originally it was required that you establish the entire line first, so that you could be in a position to negotiate not to go through your meadow, right over your house, or something like that. But and my concern now is that if you're a property owner, what this is backing you into is creating the entity. Take a pipeline. They put a pipeline, they want to put it right through your house, and you say, well, move it over 100 feet. Can't do it. We've already got $1 billion here, $1 billion there, and while your investment is a lot to you, we're already committed. This puppy's going right through your house. And, you know, if you're talking about a segment that's 30 miles away, maybe okay. But the way this reads is you can bill it right up to both, right on either side of your house and house, then you go in and say, okay, the only place to do it is right through your house. So I'm concerned that that's what, I know why the protection was there. You take all the protection out. What's left for the homeowner or the ranch owner to have any ability to negotiate where it goes?
Senator Bebout, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I understand your question correctly, you're talking about a particular ranch where you would have the segment coming to the west side of the ranch house and the segment coming to the east side of the ranch house. If this becomes law, that's not what you'll have. You'll do it by segments, and the segments are defined, like I said earlier, it could be from substation to substation, from county line to county line, and that's a huge, considerable distance. And all this bill tries to do is allow the person putting in this high-voltage line to have some reasonable certainty that they are going to be able to have right-of-way. It doesn't mean that they're going to just do it segment by segment. They're going to go out and try to get all the right-of-way. But they can be planning on a certain part of it. So if they're going to go 100 miles across the county line, that segment, if that's approved, unless the home happened to be on the county line, which I can't answer that question, but it doesn't take away the ability of the homeowner to do what they normally would do or the ranch owner. It's just a way to try to protect it. Now, you talked about existing easements. In no way, shape, or form do I believe this affects existing easements. If they have a 300-foot easement and they've been utilizing that, I don't think this bill says now all of a sudden we can add 300 feet on either side of it. That's a separate negotiation. I would hope that if it's a situation where that applies to that and they're coming through a situation like that, that the people would be responsible and reasonable and work with them. I think that that's the case, and that's what would happen, particularly because of the length of the segments.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another point, too, that was brought up in the discussion in the committee was the fact that, you know, the Public Service Commission people were there, and they testified that they've been doing this for the 230 kV lines and down for a considerable time. There didn't seem to be any kind of a problem. That this was never brought up, an issue like this, and that's probably okay, too, but it seems to me that that if this would have been a problem, I think they would have stopped this this method of segmenting the lines a long time ago, even for the lower voltage lines. And so I just don't see it. And I still, Mr. Chairman, I think, or Mr. President, I think that if that situation would occur, as like the good senator from Albany County was identifying here, that you know, I mean, the landowners still have rights and have legal action that could be taken either way, or negotiate with the companies. So I don't know that that would be a problem.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking neither for nor against the bill, but on second reading, I would hope that maybe I could get some conversation with those people sponsoring the bill and perhaps someone from industry to talk with me a little bit before third reading in regard to the exact nature of my district. My district being one that houses a large power company, a large power plant. My district is also would be the beginning of the West Intertie, and there's a lot of transmission in and out of that area. There's a lot of wind development that we've seen, and so transmission lines are of great concern to many of the landowners there. The situation that I'm talking about is the potential for several different routes for the Western Intertie to go out, to go from south or go from north to south, and then from that point go then west to the destination. As you go south out of my district, you'll go through a range of mountains, which is rather pristine in areas, and some of the corridors that they might take, the most convenient corridors, would be those of rather, like I say, pristine drainages, wildlife, and any of you who went on the recent natural resource tour there understand what I'm talking about, that there's a kind of a secret in regard to the southern part of Commerce County. It's a very beautiful, it's a very mountainous, it's a very sought-after area in regard to high amenity ranches. There's a good deal of concern as to which direction this might come out, but in regard to what I just heard, the ability to establish these links or these segments by county lines, it's interesting in that these power lines will go out north and south to be intersected by an east and west running county line. So then this intersection of being able to determine these segments, if it's done on the basis of county lines, would occur right in this pristine area of concern. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I will say again, neither opposed or neither necessarily for, I'd like some more conversation from those people who know more about this before third reading so I can make a more informed vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
President, I guess if you've never encountered this problem, then maybe you don't have constituents that are right between the power plants in Colorado. And if all you got to do is start driving between here and Colorado, or drive from Laramie down, and there are folks that have ranches there. And the point is that if you're a rancher, you would like to have all of the power lines together. And if you have to have them, power companies don't like that. They want to spread them out so that if there's there's redundancy. And as we develop more and more of these corridors that are essentially going to the same place, you could have a ranch that, as the chairman from Cheyenne said, gets emasculated because for the better benefit of everybody. And so that's what the power you had before is you could say, look, you've already got three through my ranch, or this goes right through my right through the best part of the heart of my ranch. Move it over 2 miles. Well, if you want to move it over 2 miles, the entire segment has to be moved. Now, this doesn't say a segment of 10 feet. It doesn't say a segment of one county or two counties or 300 miles. I might not care what the segment is two counties away. But if you allow them to have a segment that comes right up to the border of my ranch and it gets constructed, then you've got no capacity, none, zero, to say, move it over a half a mile, move it over 200 feet. And so now, it's already when you start talking about these large transmission lines, homeowners or ranch owners have very little say as to whether their ranch is going to get hit or not. I mean, it comes through you. That's just tough beans. And now what you're saying is you have zero say because they get to build the line, that billion-dollar investment, right up to your property, and there's nothing to say anymore. And so my question is, if you say, okay, a segment of 100 miles, that's fine, but if you're at the end of that segment, that means you don't even get to say. You need to know where that segment is going to be with respect to, say, 10 miles on either side of your property so you can participate. And I don't see that there's any protection for that poor guy now.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we need to see what the bill is and isn't doing. Number one is all it's doing is changing it up to a line of 230 kilowatt that they may be granted conditions to permit, which has to be done, so that they don't have to have every segment in the line all taken care of, that they can have the permit and be able to do that before every single segment of the line is there. This is designed primarily, again, for the lines that we're talking about, and you've heard the transmission going to Idaho, to going everywhere. I see no way, and I don't profess to be an attorney, but I see no way that this changes your ability to be able to negotiate or have a say in where that line's going. I don't think it deals with that. It says that the construction may be commenced and the permit may be gone before the entire segment of that is given. Now, I can see, particularly in the lower voltage, where that can happen, where you could come up to the edge and so on, but most of these are not going to have any access off them. There won't be access. They're for regional cross-country lines. Many of them and most of those are very probably going to be built with DC, not AC, and it will be attempting to get any juice off of them is going to be a bigger problem than I think that. I don't see where it says anything about your ability to be able to negotiate, to have a say in where that line's going to go. All it says is that the permit may be granted to start construction before every single segment of that line is complete. So I don't see how it infringes on that. I'm not an attorney, but I think your rights are fully protected. It just lets the lines, the high voltage lines, be started construction before every segment of that. And most of the lines and so on that I've seen, the segments are several hundred miles before every bit of that is obtained. So maybe there's something here I don't see. I don't know. But I don't think it changes that.
I think you've spoke twice. I think we need to keep a rule of speaking twice, and I would encourage everybody or the people that have concern, let's get together on this before third reading. House Bill 288 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. After 24 years of service to the people of Wyoming as a physician and community leader, John Barrasso was sworn in to the United States Senate on June 25, 2007. In the United States Senate, he served on the Energy and Natural Resource Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Barrasso was elected to the Wyoming State Senate in 2002 and was reelected in 2006. During his tenure in the Wyoming legislature, he served as chairman of the Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs Committee. He was also a member of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee and the Mineral, Business, and Economic Development Committee. Barrasso is known as Wyoming's doctor for his work as a medical director of Wyoming Health Affairs and for his television and radio report and newspaper column providing Wyoming residents with important health information. Please join me in welcoming home United States Senator John Barrasso.
Good to see you again. Well, thank you. It is terrific to be back home here and looking at Bill Landon sitting in the desk. Congratulations. And, you know, Hank and Grant back in the same corner. Chuck Townsend, who gave the best speech I have ever heard in my life in the United, in the, and I try to get a good speech like that in the U.S. Senate when Chuck stood up here on, what was it, on all-terrain vehicles and said, "Make my people happy." Carried the day. I think it was 29-1. I think Cale Case was the only one to vote against it. It is really terrific to be back home. I know for many of you it's like I've never left. I know Kit and John have my cell phone number. I keep the cell phone in my pocket at all times. John Hastert hasn't called since last night. I have the same email address also for my friends from when I was in the legislature. I pay for it now myself, just so you know. But I have the same email address, and Kathy Davidson in the House, her grandchildren emailed me and usually said, "I'm grandson Kathy Davidson, and I have an assignment for school. It's on this bailout." This was right before Christmas. He said, "It's on the bailout. Would you explain it to me? It doesn't have to be good, but I have to have an answer by tomorrow morning." So this has been really a wonderful training ground for me. 5 years in this body, I think, is probably worth 10 years anyplace else. You're really ready to get to Washington, and you know why. Wyoming gets it right, and Washington gets it wrong. I mean, here we do bills on a single topic. Here we balance our budget every year. Here we don't have any extraneous amendments. And Washington is full of all of those things that slow down the process and make it very complicated. I've been traveling across the state over the last couple days. Started Ken in Evanston on Monday and visited with the Rotary Club, the high school. We had a town meeting, and then from there, Stan up to Kemmer and visited the high school there. The Kemmer kids were in Washington a week ago, and then I came back and visited. There were the middle school kids and visited the high school kids in Kemmer, and then went up and had a town meeting. I mean, this is the beauty of Wyoming, a town meeting at the Moondance Diner in LaBarge, which was just terrific. And then from there to Green River, to the middle school, and to in John's area. And there was a woman at the hotel who asked me, she said, "I have a real difficult problem." I said, "Your state senator is John Hastert, and I gave her your cell phone number." So you're going to hear from her. And then over to Rock Springs to visit with folks there, and I was able to present a Purple Heart to a man who had earned it in the Korean War. And at the time, he felt that he didn't deserve it because he had friends who didn't make it home. But his family has convinced him, and got the paperwork done, and were able to present him and thank him for his service and gave him the Purple Heart. And then from there to Rollins, Bill, for a town meeting there at the library, talking with issues and folks in Rollins, and then to Rock River, to the school, and to Laramie, and here, and just came to the high school. And if anybody wants to join me for lunch, I'm going to be in Pine Bluffs at the Senior Center today. Give you a ride over, give you a ride back. So this is, but the beauty of this is you get to listen to people. You get to talk to people individually, which I think senators from some of the bigger states in terms of population don't get. And I don't know if I mentioned, in Laramie, Mike was at the high school and had a chance to see your son. So visiting with the students at the high school there. In Wyoming, you get to talk to people, listen to people. My home number is still listed in the phone book, and I hear from folks all the time. But I'm telling you this is because when I travel around the state in your districts, people say, you know, what's going on in Washington? What's the deal with this stimulus package? Number one, what do you think about it? And number two, what's in it for Wyoming? And number one is, you know, this is a bill that I thought was the largest spending bill in the history of the United States, $789 billion. And, I mean, other than Phil Nicholas, I don't think anybody else has that kind of an understanding. You know, the numbers are just so huge. My concern was it wasn't timely, it wasn't temporary, it wasn't targeted, and we were just going to borrow a lot of money from foreign competitors to have our kids and grandkids pay for this. So, I wanted something I could vote for, but I couldn't vote for this, and I voted against it, as did Mike Enzi, as did Cynthia Lummis. What I suggested on the floor of the U.S. Senate last Friday, when the 1,400-page bill came out, one copy to the U.S. Senate, you know, you can't read that many pages. And it doesn't just read straight through, because it refers to other pieces of legislation and other laws. I said, what you really ought to do is make copies of this for everybody, and you ought to send us home. And send us home and have us each read it on the plane on the way home, and then have us have town meetings around the state, and then come back and vote on Monday. Don't rush this thing through. And if we do that, I'll tell you, that bill wouldn't have passed because people at home would have had a chance to look at it. And that's what you want. You want an involved and educated electorate who know what's happening. But they didn't get a chance to look at it. So it passed, it's been signed into law, and I have only 22% of the money is going to be spent this year. 78% of it is 2010 and beyond. And they say, what's in it for Wyoming? And some of the money is grants. Some of the money has strings attached. Some is tied, Charlie, to other things. There's $110 million for Medicaid money over the next 9 quarters in that bill. So that's money for Wyoming, but it involves a commitment by the state of Wyoming. Our staff has been working around the clock just to get through the bill, all the different sections, and see what kind of money is there. And you've heard some different numbers in the paper, but it's up to Wyoming to decide what money they want to take and what money you don't want to take. There's the state stabilization fiscal fund, $82 million. Energy programs, $35 million. Education, it looks over $50 million. Wastewater, drinking water, another $40 million. The Medicare money, the Medicaid money that I talked about, $110 million. Housing, law enforcement, social programs, $13 million for food stamps. The highway money, and I know that's been a discussion here, is about $157 million in highway money in that. And that's obviously been a very important issue for me as former chairman of the Transportation Committee. In terms of worker training, millions there. And then additionally, there's money for Pell Grants for students. But when we go through the numbers, we come up with a number around $540 million for Wyoming if we make the decision, in Wyoming that we want to take that and how we want to use it. And we have a long history here in this body and in the state of Wyoming of rejecting Washington money. We have a long history of saying we'll do what we believe is right in terms of our vision for the future and our values. And I can close my eyes and hear debates in this body about that very thing. You know, we have never allowed dollar signs here in Wyoming, dollar signs from Washington, to direct us to places that we don't want to go. So if I were to give any bit of advice, and the legislature doesn't need advice from me, it's let our Wyoming vision and our Wyoming values decide where we want to go. Don't ever let Washington dictate where we need to go, because they don't know and we do. Since there are, you know, folks who have served in our military in this body, we know we're going to have the biggest deployment in the history of Wyoming of 1,000 troops in the next from our guard in the next couple of months. And I just want to ask that if you see somebody and you know that they're going, please thank them for their service. If you have somebody and you know their family is here, they need your help as well and they need their thanks. It is a major commitment, not just by those who serve, but by the families of those who serve. They are serving, and sometimes their lives are more difficult being home than those who are serving overseas. I've been to Afghanistan, been to Iraq, have future trips planned to both of those locations to make sure that our Wyoming people are getting everything they need there. The other is Bobby sends her greetings. She's doing very well. Wants to thank all of you for all of your efforts with the Susan Komen Foundation and the Race for the Cure. And every year we have our team here from the State Senate. And so thank you for that. And then the final message is one. It's a bipartisan message, and it's about Wyoming. And it actually was delivered here in Cheyenne by Ronald Reagan about 27 years ago. He was here in Story Gym, and he said the thing he loved about Wyoming and the Rocky Mountain West, he said, is that the people here still believe that the future is ours to shape. And it's what I saw at town meetings all across Wyoming, and I'm sure I'll see it in Pine Bluffs at lunch. We really do believe in Wyoming that the future is ours to shape. And I know with this legislature and this state senate, you are shaping the future along the lines of the vision for all the people of Wyoming. Thanks so much for letting me be back to join you today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. We appreciate all your work and hope you can continue working hard.
The best.
Senator Vasey.
Not to interrupt the good senators, but I may I have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
The Little Snake River Valley School is here with their teacher, Tammy Sue Willie. Would you give them a warm welcome? There they are here.
Welcome to the Senate.
What? Probably. Old elementary school.
Okay, bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President. We do have a consent list. And, Mr. President, before I present that, I just want to say that Senator Barrasso said that Wyoming believes in its ability to shape the future. I think the way that we're shaping the future in Wyoming is through hard work. And if you'll look at the consent list today, Mr. President, it contains 21 bills. To me, that's direct evidence of what was just said in regard for this body to accomplish things through hard work. So with that, Mr. President, I would offer the following consent list. House Bill 8, Certified Public Accountants Revisions. House Bill 38, Fiscal Year for Government Entities. House Bill 51, Handicapped Motorcycle Plates. House Bill 60, Sex Offenses by Corrections Personnel. House Bill 72, County Jails, Release of Information. House Bill 74, Water and Sewer District Maps. House Bill 76, Election Code Revisions. House Bill 78, Improvement and Service Districts. House Bill 79, Mortgages Redemption Period. House Bill 106, Firearm Ownership Domestic Violence Offenses. House Bill 113, Careless Driving. House Bill 119, Genetic and Metabolic Disease Programs. House Bill 135, Recreational Safety Act Amendments. House Bill 137, Videotape Depositions Minors. House Bill 138, Property Tax Refund Program. House Bill 150, Peace Officer Definition. House Bill 155, Higher Education Matching Funds. House Bill 164, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony. House Bill 182, Low Profit Limited Liability Companies. House Bill 221, Property Tax Appeals 2. House Bill 223, Bullying Prevention.
The consent list today will be House Bill 8, Certified Public Accountants Revision. House Bill 38, Fiscal Year for Governmental Entities. House Bill 51, Handicapped Motorcycle Plates. House Bill 60, Sex Offenses by Correction Personnel. House Bill 72, County Jails, Release of Information. House Bill 74, Water and Sewer Districts Maps. House Bill 76, Election Code Revisions. House Bill 78, Improvement and Service Districts. House Bill 79, Mortgages Redemption Periods. House Bill 106, Firearm Ownership Domestic Violence Offenses. House Bill 113, Careless Driving. House Bill 119, Genetic and Metabolic Disease Programs. House Bill 135, Recreational Safety Acts Amendments. House Bill 137, Video Tape Dispositions Minors. House Bill 138, Property Tax Refund Program. House Bill 150, Peace Officer Definition. House Bill 155, Higher Education Matching Funds. House Bill 164, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony. House Bill 182, Low-Profit Limited Liability Companies. House Bill 221, Property Tax Appeals 2. and House Bill 223, Bullying Prevention. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Scott.
House Bill 164, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony.
Right. House Bill 164, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony, will be removed. Anyone else? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 8, House Bill 38, House Bill 51, House Bill 60, House Bill 72, House Bill 74, House Bill 76, House Bill 78, House Bill 79, House Bill 106, House Bill 113, House Bill 119, House Bill 135, House Bill 137, House Bill 138, House Bill 150, House Bill 155, House Bill 182, House Bill 221, and House Bill 223. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin excused. Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 8, are there any changes? Closing vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 38, are there any changes? Perkins, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 38, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 51, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 51, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 60, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 72, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 74, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 76, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 78, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 79, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 106, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 113, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 113, 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 119, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 119, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 135, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 135, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 137, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 138, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 138, 27 ayes, 2 noes, and 1 excused. House Bill 150, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 150, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 155, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 155, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 164, are there any changes?
That was taken off the list.
Oh, that was taken off the list. That's right. I'm sorry. House Bill 182, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 182, 28 ayes, 1 no, and 1 excused. House Bill 221, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused. And House Bill 223, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused.
Having received the vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 8, House Bill 38, House Bill 51, House Bill 60, House Bill 72, House Bill 74, House Bill 76, House Bill 78, House Bill 79, House Bill 106, House Bill 113, House Bill 119, House Bill 135, House Bill 137, House Bill 138, House Bill 150, House Bill 155, House Bill 182, House Bill 221, and House Bill 223 have passed the Senate. House Bill 164, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 164, sponsored by Representative Simpson, Prescription Drug Fraud Felony, an act relating to controlled substances, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I had this bill removed from the consent list to urge you to vote no on this piece of legislation. Mr. President, the existing law that we've got is better than this particular piece of legislation. Under the existing law, to acquire, obtain possession of, produce, or attempt to produce the administration of, or obtain a prescription for any controlled substance by misrepresentation, fraud, forgery, deception, or subterfuge is what's forbidden. And the penalties are what's really changed here. First offense is the standard low misdemeanor, 6 months, $750, and the person may be ordered to receive a substance abuse assessment conducted by a substance abuse provider certified by the Department of Health. So there's the standard low misdemeanor, plus you can get the substance abuse assessment, trying to find the people that have a substance abuse problem and to get something done about it. Second offense is high misdemeanor, standard figures, $1,000 a year in the county jail, significant penalty, plus, again, the ability for that substance abuse. And then the third offense is the felony. What this bill does is it pulls out a subset of the offenses, alteration or forgery of prescription drug or written order for a controlled substance, and makes it an instant felony, makes it a 10-year felony. I will suggest to the Senate that the current law is the appropriate way to deal with this. What you're mostly going to be dealing with here are people that have a substance abuse problem. The criminal penalty is useful. It gives the hammer. It enables, frankly, a drug court to have a hold, coercive hold over these people so they can get them into treatment. That's the sensible way to proceed. Where you have somebody who's doing it on a commercial scale and potentially do a lot of harm, my understanding is under the existing law, they won't alter just one prescription. They'll alter a number of them, and each one of those is a separate offense. So you can go to the felony if the prosecutors feel that's what's justified under the current. And my belief is that we would be for the real severe cases will fall under that. The vast majority of the cases you're likely to get, Mr. President, is an individual who's altered a prescription for his own benefit. And there the appropriate thing is starting out with a misdemeanor, trying to get the problem cured, and going to the felony only when you can. I think that, yes, it's a serious problem, but making everything a felony right off the bat is not the solution to our societal problems. I think the balance we have in the existing statute, which was just recently amended, that you find the current law in the supplement, I think that's the way we ought to go and what we ought to stick with, Mr. President, and I would urge the defeat of this bill.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just as a counterpoint to that, keep in mind what this bill does do and what it doesn't do. This bill is truly a rifle shot. If you look, you go through in paragraph 3, which is the top of page 2, and it has a long list there of controlled substances by misrepresentation, fraud, forgery, deception, or subterfuge. From there, it calls out a very specific subset, which is only alteration or forgery of a prescription, and makes that the felony. This very discussion was had in committee, and ultimately the conclusion was simply that this is more serious because it's not only possession or of trying to obtain drugs by fraud or other types of misrepresentation. But it's a felony because it's also assault upon the health delivery system. It's true, and the other thing that does is the way if you were to vote this law down, ultimately someone could go out, try to obtain several hundred pills by either altering or forging a prescription, and they're only guilty of a misdemeanor. Now, they could have done that in series, but unless there's a prior conviction, because there's only a graduated conviction, you have to have a first offense, convicted of a first offense, then you have to be convicted of a second offense, then you have to be convicted of a third offense. If you get picked up and you've done this three or four or a dozen times, and it's the first time you've been caught, and the first conviction you have, it's only a misdemeanor unless you pass this bill. So while I appreciate what my good fellow senator from Natrona County is saying, I almost said Montana, and that would have been a terrible insult. I don't know where that came from. Ultimately, that's the point. And this is a very, very sharp rifle shot because any of the others, you would hope and you would anticipate the prosecutor would say that simply by if you changed a 7 to a 9 and got a couple of pills, you would hope that the prosecutor would have the good sense to simply say that's just by fraud or deception, and that's not an alteration. Now, obviously, they have the discretion to charge that as a felony, but you would hope that they wouldn't do that. But the problem, this is a growing problem, and as they're moving from the illicit drugs like meth and others, this is where it seems to be that they're going, and that's why it's this rifle shot at making this a felony, and so encourage your support of the bill.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I urge support of the bill. This is a serious problem out there. We've had two things up in my community that have happened. One, we had two people break into our medical foundation office in a medical building, our office, go up through the ceiling, cross through the ceiling, the false ceiling, drop down into a pharmacy, steal a bunch of prescription pads and some drugs. And then here is the latest incident. Monday, February 9th edition of the Cody Enterprise. Prescription pads were recently stolen from the urgent care clinic, and that's all that was taken out of there. Sometime January 28th to February 4th, about 30 prescription pads, which I assume were the pads that doctors write prescriptions on, were taken, but it's unknown how they were obtained. They were gone. And I can tell you they didn't take those prescription pads because they had a sore throat. This is serious stuff. Totally they were going to take these pads and go out and fraud and do things to obtain prescriptions. So urge you support the bill. I think it's a good bill. It's a timely bill, and I think we should move it forward.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I didn't think the bill did a whole heck of a lot one way or the other until it was modified to allow for the 301 deferment. Basically, that just says, yeah, you can have a 10-year penalty, but now you get the opportunity, as the bill's been amended, to just say, well, fins, it didn't count. So now you're saying you've got really bad players and really bad actors, and you got to punish them. And then on the other hand, you're saying, well, that's okay. To me, it's almost like a bipolar bill.
Further discussion on the amendment, on the bill? Are you ready for the question? House Bill 164 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt? Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin excused, Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
no.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines,
no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 19 ayes, 10 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 164, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 164 have passed the Senate. Would our page please come up to the mic? We have a...
Oh, I was like, what?
No, you don't get the chair.
Okay.
You don't get the chair.
I wanted to be President Monahan for the day, but I guess it's not happening.
A resolution to recognize Tom Monahan's service as a page in the Wyoming State Senate. Be it resolved by the Senate of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming, whereas Tom had served as a page for the Senate from February 9th through February 20th, 2009, whereas Tom served as a page had been exceptional and fully appreciated by the Wyoming Senators, whereas this resolution had the support of the members of the Senate of the Wyoming Legislature who have signed their name here too. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the undersigned members of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming, Section 1, that Tom dedication have served him well, will serve him well in future endeavors, and that Tom has served the Senate of the State of Wyoming with dignity and respect. Therefore, with great appreciation, we recognize Tom Monahan for his outstanding dedication and support to the State of Wyoming and to the on this 20th day of February, 2009. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And you may speak to the Senate.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for the warning, everybody, that I'm going to be up here. That's awesome. Well, it's been a really good time. I've made a lot of friends here, especially my friend in the corner who has saved me numerous times because I forget this every other day. And so I have four or five fake ones over there in his desk. You guys, I was really nervous when I came here because I didn't know what to expect. And so I come out here and I talk to Diana the first morning at 7:30 sharp, and she gives me the lowdown on what I'm doing. And I could just think, oh, my God. What? What are you saying? And so I sat there, and I was really freaking out. And then I met Belle, and I met Helen, and they kind of calmed me down a little bit because I was still freaking out a little bit. I'm going to sit in front of all these people. I don't know. What are they going to do? I don't have a map. I don't know who you are. And so they're giving me all these papers to pass out. Nah, geez. But you guys made it really calm. You guys calmed me down. You guys are really nice. I made a lot of mistakes. I know. But you guys are really nice about it. And we're like, no, I'm not Senator Ross. No, I'm not Senator Von Flattern. So I was like, oh, I apologize. But thanks for putting up with me. And it's been a really good experience. I had no idea you guys put so much work into all this stuff. I came down here and thought you guys just showed up and voted on things that had already been written up and ready to go. And I was like, oh, this is going to be sweet. I can just sit here and let these guys vote on 40 or 50 bills a day. And no, it's a lot more work. I know that guys, all your committee work and everything. You guys are up here bright and early, and you leave very late, do a lot of good stuff. And I've always wanted to go into politics and government and things like that. And after seeing all the work you guys do, I don't know. But I probably still will. And it's been a good time, and I just want to thank you so much for letting me do this. And on top of all the experience I got, I'm getting paid. So it's been really good. It's been a good time. And I just want to thank you again for all you've done. And I'll see you guys around one of these days when I come back. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Good luck to you. Reports from standing committees.
February the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 231, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Sessions, no, Senator Perkins, conflict, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 73, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. February the 20th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 222, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCarrier, and Ross. No, Senator Perkins, excused. Senator Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman.
We are that order of business, signing enrolled act. Senate Enrolled Act 1. Reading clerk will please read it.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 1, being original Senate File 4.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 1, being original House Bill 4. Senate File 4. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 2.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 2, being original Senate File 7.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 2, being original Senate File 7. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 3.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 3, being original Senate File 22.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 3, being original Senate Act File 22. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 4.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 4, being original Senate File 29.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 4, being original Senate File Number 29. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 5.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 5, being original Senate File 113.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 5, being original Senate File 113. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 6.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 6, being original Senate File 58.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 6, being original Senate File 58. I'm so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 7.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 7, being original Senate File 11.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 7, being original Senate File 11. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 8.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 8, being original Senate File 31.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 8, being original Senate File 31. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 9.
Senate Enrolled Act, being original Senate File 36.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 9, being original Senate File 36. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 10.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, being original Senate File 70.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 10, being original Senate File 70. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 11.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 11, being original Senate File 25.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 11, being original Senate File 25. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act 12.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 110.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 110. I have so signed. Considerations of bills in general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are that order of business, considerations of bills in general file.
Mr. President, looking at the clock in regard to the business we have this afternoon and looking at all the work that the committees are doing over the lunch hour, I think what I'm going to do at this moment, Mr. President, is move that the Senate be at recess until 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Announcements. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple announcements. One, Committee Number 12, Rules and Procedures, will meet at 1 o'clock over the lunch hour today in Senate 5, and we'll meet to discuss House Bill 61, Engrossed, the Revisor's Bill, House Bill 127, Obsolete Laws, General Revisions, and House Bill 160, Constituent Allowance Service. And, Mr. President, further, I just got an announcement from our memorandum from the LSO. If you'll just listen for a moment, the announcement has to do with mileage for weekly trips home, and I'll just read it verbatim. It says, from conversations we've had, it appears a few members may still be confused about claiming mileage for trips home during the session. Could you please remind everyone by announcement that each member is entitled to claim round-trip mileage for one trip home each week for the session, assuming they did, in fact, travel home during that week. They may claim the mileage by signing a roster maintained in a notebook at the fiscal officer, Kathy Barrett's desk in the main LSO office. Now, if you've gone home and you've neglected to sign a claim for a trip that you've already made, which you might have made earlier this session, it's still not too late to sign a claim for that trip. All you have to do is stop by and check with Kathy Barrett. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number one, Judiciary, will meet at 8 a.m. on Monday morning to consider the following bill, House Bill 141, Impaired Driving Prevention Amendments. And if I might, Mr. President, a privilege of the floor, Wyoming State Legislator Blood Drive is going on today in the Herschler Atrium from 10 to 2. So those of you that have extra blood may be willing to part with that.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I gave at the office. Mr. President, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 10 minutes after 12 in room S18 to again finish up work on House Bill 295, Engrossed, Western States Energy and Transmission Symposium, then House Bill 262, Engrossed, Very Rare and Uncommon Areas, and as much time as permitting, House Bill 169, Engrossed, Mortgage Loan Originators. And further, Mr. Chairman, on Monday, February 23rd, 30 minutes after the noon recess, the Minerals Committee number 9 will meet to finish up, if necessary, House Bill 169, Engrossed, and also to consider House Bill 301, Engrossed, Wyoming Industry Partnership Act 2, and House Bill 161, Serve Wyoming.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I think I've given my share on the floor and plan on giving a little more, so I probably won't make the blood drive. Today at noon, number 8, Transportation Highway Military Affairs, will meet in S13 to review House Bill 183, House Military Tuition Assistance, House Bill 179, Engrossed Phase 2 I-80 Study, House Bill 85, Engrossed Motor Vehicle Chain Laws. And, Mr. President, that same committee on Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, will be reviewing House Bill 267, Engrossed Commercial Motor Vehicles Definitions, and House Bill 211, Engrossed Veterans License Plates.
You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recessed until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate is recessed.